I'm Nate Langston.
And I'm Andrew Hoyle.
And we are back looking at more things of the world that we may or may not need.
So many things to look at. How do we have time?
I don't know. It's 10 p.m. on a Wednesday and I've, to be honest, got quite a lot to try and get through. We're going to start with some easy stuff. And the first thing I've got here, it's a two-part question. It's a double question. It's the, do we need buy one, get one free offers?
Bog off offers.
Bog off. Oh, yeah. That's clever.
You only just realised that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bog off. Very good. And the thing is, I kind of wonder whether this is actually just encouraging waste and needless acquisition of food.
Okay, go on.
So I was looking up some figures the other day, because basically this stemmed from the fact I was in a shop the other day and I saw buy one box of Pringles, get two free.
That's pretty cool.
Now, that's exceptional. It's normally just buy one, get one free.
Yeah.
Now, here we go. I looked up some numbers. In the US, apparently 40% of all edible food gets thrown away. So 40% of all food produced in the US gets wasted. And 30% of that is meat, which I find quite interesting. And half of the amount of waste that we have in the UK from food comes from our homes. So this is us buying too much food or buying more than we need, and half of all the wasted food in the UK is waste. The source of that waste is residential. And I think that's amazing. That's over 7 million tons of food and drink that we waste every year. It costs the average household just under 500 quid, apparently, and just under 700 quid if you're a family with children. And it works out around £50 a month of food Wow. is wasted. So and one more fact I've got here. One says that the benefit to our planet, if we could stop wasting all food, let's say, would be the equivalent to the environment as taking one in five cars off the road.
Wow, so those are some, they're undeniable figures, really, and really quite impressive. So on that front, then, definitely not. Yeah, it's something that we should address. On the other hand, though, I really think it's how you actually then go about using that stuff. It's more, should be cutting down on weight, because I love those offers, but I only get them if it's things that I would buy or things that I actually need and things that generally don't go off. So things like hand wash, toothpaste, that kind of thing. If it's buy one, get one free, great. I'll probably buy four or six of them because they'll keep and you can keep on using them. If you're just buying it and then you actually never use it, then that's the problem. It's how you use these things. The offers are fine because they're saving you money, but you've got to actually use them carefully.
Personally, I would rather have one object for half price than two objects for the full price.
Yeah, so that's fair. I mean, it equates to the same amount, but
I mean, the ones that I have a bigger problem with are things like, £2 each or three for £4.
Yeah.
Or, stuff like that. Because then it is actually encouraging you not just to have more than you need, but it's actually spend more than you wanted to spend on more of the objects than you actually went in to buy in the first place.
So moving on to our next section, and it's all about tea, specifically the heat of tea. Now, this is one of yours, Nate, that you wanted to tell us all about. So why don't you tell us what's up?
Yeah, well, I was quaffing a tea earlier.
Like you are now, that I made right before we hit record.
Yes. Now, this is a great one. This is, do we need tea to be hot all the time, combined with, do we need tea to be this hot, combined with, do we need those metal coffee cups that keep your drink at a temperature that's always too hot to consume and feels like my lips are being melted off?
So here's the thing that I'll just point out.
Yeah.
So you will always have your tea almost cold. Like, yeah. I make you a cup of tea and about half an hour later at least is when you start to drink the tea.
Sounds about right.
And I'm...
I won't be drinking this tea that I've got here until we finish recording.
No, I mean, whereas I just had a slip then. But I'm kind of half on your side, because I like it when you can have a good-sized mouthful. I don't like to sip at a scalding hot tea. I like to be able to get enough that you can really taste it, and even to be able to down a cup in one.
I see people do this who do just sit and sup tea. It's too hot to get any significant quantity of liquid in your mouth.
Yeah.
So you're just supping it, just tiny bits. And there's always the risk of lipular burnage. Which is a term I've just invented just then. And I've tried doing this the other day because I was in a rush. I was in an airport in Berlin and I'd bought a Starbucks, and there were a lot of weird people trying to look for possibly worth high-value items in recycle cans, which I don't understand. That's a separate conversation. But I had to get through security, and I just bought a Starbucks. It was too hot. And I was sipping it. And this is actually where this idea stemmed from. Because I'm taking no pleasure in trying to sip this hot tea. It's too hot. My mouth is burning. I'm taking zero pleasure from it. And yet they were still selling these. They had some Berlin special ones. Those metal things that keep your drink hot for a much longer period of time.
Yeah.
Now, I get that if you're, say, outdoors, doing a car boot sale, interviewing a penguin, something like that, camping perhaps anywhere in England. That I do get that makes sense, but I have seen people, we have a couple in the office actually at Wired, where people keep their drinks in these to keep it hot. The thing is, I don't get it. So I've looked up some facts and figures for this as well, because apparently that's what I do now. And hot drinks, typically, if you buy it from somewhere like Starbucks, a coffee this is, they're served between 70 and 80 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, see, without, I need context for that number. Is that too high?
100 degrees is boiling.
Right.
Okay. So one study suggested that the optimum drinking temperature, and this is a temperature where it's comfortable to drink, you can take enough into your mouth without it burning, and yet it's still very much a hot drink, is, do you want to have a guess what this number is? Because you haven't seen this.
Well, it's literally written down in front of me.
Oh, of
so
course.
I can tell you exactly what it is within point.
It's 57.8 degrees Celsius. And this was based on a survey of a few hundred people that tasted hot drinks and wrote down the temperature that they think is best at. And it takes between 10 and 15 minutes at room temperature for a drink served at around 80 degrees to cool down to that particular degree of temperature.
That's fine when you go into Starbucks and you're sitting in a coffee shop and you don't want to sit down with somebody, have your coffee, immediately neck it, and then piss off out. You want to sit down and have a conversation, and that's why, and that's fine. But Starbucks can't really give two different temperatures for eat-in drinks and eat-away drinks. So that's not really something they can do.
This is why, whenever I'm having a meeting in Starbucks, I also ask for a cup of ice, and I place 3 to 4 ice cubes in...
3 to 4? That's a lot of ice to put into a coffee.
Yes. Immediately. And it is like that.
Why don't you order an iced coffee?
It's drinkable, because I don't want iced coffee. See, and again, just, I know every episode I keep mentioning something about Japan, but they do this in Japan. If you order coffee, it comes cold by standard. You have to ask for it hot.
That's weird.
Yeah.
But, so what I never understand is how an iced coffee is delicious, but a coffee that's just gone cold is fucking awful.
Yeah. Well, so I don't think we need coffee and tea to be this hot, to be sipped, where it is destroying the happiness of your north and south lips. Actually, I don't know if you have west and east lips. I don't really know where I'm going with that. And we don't need those metal coffee cups, because seriously, how hot do you need that drink to stay?
Well, I'm just going to sit on the other side of the fence. And I say we do need it. You've got to make them hot so they can cool down whilst you chat and just mull the world. It's important, that time. That 10 minutes is when most people have their epiphanies, I bet that.
Do you think?
Yeah. Almost like you'd have the same one on the toilet. In fact, if you do the same, if you combine the cooling time with the toilet time, which I sometimes do, brilliant. The weight is off your shoulders.
It's
fantastic.
That is, that's quite the dump news. You there, you've got a pair of lips, and you've got some hands with fingers on, perhaps, hopefully. That is all you need to get in touch with us at doweneedquestions@gmail.com or at doweneed on Twitter. And these following people have been in touch.
Just before you start, I was going to point out that you don't actually need lips to email us or tweet to us.
You need...
fingers and internet connection.
Can you talk without lips?
You
can't say lips. That's ironic, isn't it? In whatever way you want to get in touch with us, whether you're typing with your lips or like any internet commenters and using custom-built keyboards so you can literally type angry comments with your fists clenched, you can get in touch with us. James has got in touch to say, do we need landline telephones? I don't have one.
No, I don't have one. I haven't had one in probably 5 years.
The answer is no.
Definitely not.
Thomas says, do we need garden centres? Garden centres are fascinating places.
I like garden centres. It's nice to walk around and smell flowers and look at gnomes.
Would you like to know a story?
Always.
There is a person that exists in the world that's not He's not a great person. Doesn't live in London. Lives elsewhere. You do know who I'm talking about.
I know
who
you're joking about already, yeah.
And there was one day, I didn't know him very well, and there was one day where he said, I asked him what he did for work, and he said, I work in a nursery. And I almost wanted to take a step back. So I was like, you are the last person I would ever want teaching or looking after my children, because you are a hair's breadth away from basically being psychotic.
Yeah, he's brilliant fun, and I think really nice, but... the right kind of nursery he's on.
Yeah.
The plant side.
The plant side. But you can buy some amazing stuff from garden centres. It's amazing.
Cactuses.
The kind of stuff. No, but not even just plants. I mean, they all, absolutely all, have those terrific push-along shopping cart type things. That's like a trolley, but really low down.
And really wide and flat, so you can get about three people on.
Exactly. Yeah. It is tremendous, tremendous fun. For that reason alone, yes, we do need them.
Yep. So Alan says, do we need jugglers?
I think we need jugglers.
Okay, they're done then. Moving on.
No, we do. I saw a weird thing, though. You know those kind of gold-painted men and women you see in Covent Garden?
Yeah, hate them.
No, I saw one the other day, and I was genuinely impressed with what they were doing. They were hovering in midair, and I couldn't work out how they were doing it. It was genuinely impressive. Anyway, I saw two of them, clearly finished work for the day, walking to the tube. I was like, that breaks the dream.
Yeah.
That breaks the dream.
I've never seen one on the tube, and I always want to because...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we do need jugglers. What we don't need is people who take photos of mimes.
Oh, yeah.
Been discussed in the past, everyone looks like a mime in a photograph.
Yeah, everyone's still.
Nick writes in, do we need bookmarks? Not the function, but the product category. Only ever used as a cheap purchase when taking kids to a museum's gift shop. I, as a child, always preferred to buy rubbers. A pencil erasers, that is.
I always liked erasers. And also marbles. For some reason, gift shops sold marbles, even though they're marbles. They were never like branded or anything. They were just normal marbles, like the cat's eyes ones, or, you know, with like the opaque white ones with the blue swirls.
I remember,
There's no branding on
them. I used to love marbles.
I used to love marbles.
Absolutely love marbles. Marbles were brilliant. But we used to have this thing in our school, actually, where we came up with various rules. Like, you know the crab, where you put your hand over the marble and you have to try and get the marble through it. And it was always great to use one of the big marbles because you knew you'd be able to take out someone else's little marble, and they'd have to click a number of times to take down your big marble. Well, one day, I won the biggest marble I have ever seen from a lad called Steve. that bit's irrelevant, but... For context, his name was Steve. And anyway, I got his marble, fair and square. He was very disappointed that I'd won his marble. Very disappointed. He cried. No, cried in front of me. His own bodily...
And you still kept his marble?
I kept his marble. I took it home.
You heartless bastard.
Do you know what happened the next day?
You broke it, actually. Didn't you drop it and it shattered?
I probably did. I may have done that on
purpose. I remember you bringing it home. You were very happy about it because it was chipped as hell.
No, I'll tell you what happened. He brought his mum in to have words with me. And his mum made me give him his marble back.
Well, moving on from that awful childhood trauma that you had, I feel sorry for you. Adele says, do we need tiny vases on car dashboards that you can only fit one flower in?
I've never seen these.
No, I've never been in a car and someone's had a flower in a vase. I think Adele is travelling in some extremely high-class cars.
She's got me thinking now, because I saw a woman with one of these yesterday. Those men who walk around trying to sell single crap roses in tightly packed...
Oh, yeah, those guys are dicks. I got bullied by those all the time.
And they walk up to you in a bar. He's like, do you want to buy a flower? He's like, excuse me, mate, irrelevant. I'm sitting down having a dinner. Can you leave, please?
Yeah.
I saw a woman had obviously been suckered into buying one. Or was given one, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe she's given one.
Adele also asks, do we need bags of pre-grated cheese? I love this question. The thing is, I tend to buy those when I'm pissed. I did this yesterday, actually, when I was coming back from an event.
Didn't surprise me. You got home at 2 a.m. No.
We don't need those. Do you know what else we don't need? We don't need... pancake mix. It's just flour and salt.
Yeah.
It's, you know, all you need to do is add egg and water and stir. Okay, so what you're saying is, this is a bag of flour with a bit of salt in it.
That you charge way more for how much you actually get.
Yeah, pancake mix.
Yeah, so no, we don't, I don't think we need bags of pre-grated cheese, except for the grated mozzarella one, although it is a very, very low quality mozzarella because it's not held in water, because that makes it really easy to scatter evenly over a pizza.
I'm so hungry for cheese right now. Mark, last one for now. Writes in with a related question, actually. Do we need pre-made mashed potato? Or any pre-prepared vegetables, for that matter? If you can't slice a carrot, you don't deserve to eat.
Yep, I'm on board.
I kind of agree with that. But it invokes similar feelings that we had for, you know, back when we were discussing pre-grated cheese and pancake mix all those seconds ago.
Oh, man, those times. Those are the good times. They we'll never hard. Have those back again.
Yeah. Well, you can get in touch with us with doyouneedquestions@gmail.com.
Or you can head over to Twitter with @doweneed, followed by the thing that you think we do not need. Or maybe something that we do need. You can say that too. That's fine.
Willkommen back. There wasn't much of a break there. I'm just used to saying that in the second half of a podcast. I was in a hotel the other day, and...
Shock. I mean, that's firstly...
I know. I was in a hotel, and I arrived in my hotel room, and I looked at the bed. It was a very large bed. It was wide enough for me to use it horizontally. And I was very tempted at one point to do that until I realized the pillow would fall off the side of the bed, and that would cause me grief. However, it wouldn't have mattered... Because do you know how many pillows were on my bed? That was one bed, and they knew that I was the only one staying there.
Again, yes, you've written it down.
Oh, shit, yeah. Well, it was 10. I counted. 10 pillows. 5 individual types of pillow, but doubled up for either side of this bed. And obviously it was a room that was meant for two people because there were, you know, there were 2 pairs of slippers in the bathroom. There were 2 pair robes hanging up. You know, great fun.
You came I can home use... with 2 bath towels.
Exactly. But it did make me question, do we need this many pillows on hotel beds?
So what's the problem with that many pillows? Because surely more pillows means more comfort. That is just maths.
It's too confusing.
It's too comfortable.
You know what Apple does really well about tech? Is like they just get...
You cannot link too many pillows to any Apple
they
launch.
They just give you what you need... And it's right. The same should be true with pillows.
This is bullshit. Because if it was an Apple hotel room, you'd go in there and it would just be a roll mat on the floor with like a tiny square of pillows. Like, you can sleep on it and you've saved all this space.
That's true. And you know what's really funny? That hotel, I'd flown over to Berlin for an Apple launch. But anyway.
Exactly. You need to go. But what I'm putting you up in this room. That's the hotel Apple you knew you needed.
No. Here's my point. I did not know... what to do with all these pillows. Half of them, when I get there, immediately, I remove most of these pillows as if I'm doing sort of some sort of slow motion romantic gesture when bringing a lady to this room. And I sort of sweep the pillows off the bed as if we're going to lay down and caress in like some sort of weird, unholy matrimony. And... But I had to stop and look at these pillows because there were so many times. It's like, which bit of my body is this bit meant to support?
So I wonder if maybe that, you know, like when you go into a really posh restaurant, you've got like sort of 5 or 6 different bits of cutlery either side of the plate.
Yeah.
And each one is for a different part of the meal. Maybe sort of throughout the night in sleep, you're naturally supposed to graduate from one pillow to another and then onto another. And then you go into deep sleep and you've got to get into the really deep pillow. And there's some sort of etiquette to sleeping in hotels that you just don't know.
Sleep should not be that complicated. It's a simple fact. Well, sleep should not be that complicated. Now, you are right, though, because I did wake up in the middle of the night and I felt very lonely. And there was a 5-foot pillow as part of my package of pillows. And you know what I did? I picked it up and I hugged it and I fell back asleep. And I was grateful for that pillow. And it turns out that is one of 12 types of pillow that you can ask this hotel to give you. That one was called the 5-foot body cushion.
Okay, what are the others?
So, there was one called buckwheat.
Okay.
There's one called cloud. There's one called hypoallergenic. I'll let that one off.
That's fine.
That makes sense. There's one called magnetic therapy. There's a maternity pillow. That one also makes sense. Yeah. Satin beauty. Lullaby. Snore no more. Particularly impressed by the use of hyphens in that name. Swedish memory. Upper body. Now, I was disturbed by this one because the photo on the website does look like a fairly damaged penis.
It does look like a flaccid penis hanging down.
Yeah. Sorry, no one can see this, but just think of a broken cock.
I'm just looking at the last one here. Water-filled. Imagine having a pillow fight with water-filled pillows.
Imagine that.
Oh, my God, that would be superb.
New realms of pleasure. No, anyway, so this was one. And this is not the only one. Like, there's lots of these. And there was this great thing in the little hotel book. And I was looking in there to sort of see all the types of whiskey that was in my minibar. And anyway, they said, there was a line in there saying, like, if you're unhappy with the choice of pillows we have laid out for you, please call room service and we can bring any of the below to your room. And I'm sitting there with... just with 5 pillows in one arm, 3 in the other, several more scattered along the floor, thinking, you know what, I think I'm okay for pillows.
I like that they're giving you sort of like a tasting platter doing like a bit of a tasting menu, see which ones you like the best, and then you ring down and order the main course of that pillow.
Yeah, too much pillow, honestly, too much choice. But the problem, the bigger problem that I have with this is like, it's same with blankets. Like, a lot of these hotels do have many different types of sheets, and you have the base layer, you have another one. I kind of get that in a way. But the problem is that I was sort of staring at some of these pillows, holding them up, and sort of staring at them quite closely with one eye half closed, lid sort of like a widescreen, looking at it, sort of going, what do I do with you? Which bit of my body are you here to benefit? I don't know. And then I discarded him or her. And I just didn't know what to do with him. And that's why I figure we don't need them. Because if someone like me, a seasoned traveler, a regular hoteler, and a fan of pillows, I bought a new one the other day from John Lewis. I tested every type of pillow in John Lewis on their practice bed to see which one best suited my head. Am I on a rant? Are we still even podcasting?
No. This is I completely agree to a certain extent.
Very well.
So, last topic of the podcast today.
A honking great example.
It is a honking great example, and also kind of related to the previous topic. But I want to ask, do we need quite so many geese?
Where? In this London. Room? There are too many geese in this flat.
So I'm specifically right now, I don't really know what the geese levels are like in different parts of the country. I'm specifically talking about London's parks, London's royal parks. So I'm currently in the habit of walking 7 miles between my office and Notting Hill Gate. Mm. And that takes me across Regent's Park, St James's Park and Hyde Park. And all the way through, there are just geese everywhere. They're all over the place. They're wandering over their pathways. They're floating around on the lakes. They're just constant and is honking everywhere. And in
London,
a way,
has been over-goosed.
a few too goose. So it's nice that they're geese there, not just shitty pigeons all over the place. But still, there are and now I believe too many, because they're all over the place, and some of them get quite angry, and if you go too near them, which is difficult when there are that many, they'll get annoyed and they'll hiss. And there's just goose shit everywhere, so it does stink in certain parts of the parks, which isn't very nice.
Well, I looked into this, and I think your year is about to get dramatically worse if this goose problem continues to vex you, as it does so clearly, because every autumn, 700,000 extra geese fly into the UK like some sort of Olympic goose festival.
A goose festival. See, in a way, I'd like that, because I love geese. It's just that I think, seriously, there might be too many geese. I think we can have the right amount of geese, and I think we might be pushing that limit. Because there's also, bear in mind, a shit ton of swans in these parks. There's a lot of swans.
But they're there, but you can't kick a swan, but you can kick it. If you kick a swan, the queen gets cross.
You ever tried kicking a goose? That thing will get cross.
Yeah, you can take a goose down easier than a swan.
I don't know. Some of them are pretty big. But see, as well, there are about 8 lovely pelicans in St. James's Park. Only 8 of them. Why not have more pelicans? Those things are brilliant. Their beaks are hilarious. They wander around. And I reckon, with enough training, you could get a pelican to carry something for you in its beak.
But
you could train them up as waiters. It'd be superb.
Nobody wants... And here's the problem. Nobody wants to eat a pelican for Christmas lunch.
Do you know why?
Because I think probably because they're a bit gamey. They're not very delicious, I imagine.
Do you know why nobody orders pelicans at a restaurant?
Go on.
Because the bills are huge.
Did you just come up with that?
Maybe.
That is genius.
Thank you. So I did a little research, I tried to do a bit of research into exactly how many geese there are in royal parks. And on their website, they say that there's about 100,000 roses in the parks and around 150,000 trees. But there are no published figures on how many geese. Now, I think that's because they haven't actually got any idea, which means it's getting out of hand, and they won't publish these figures in case it causes some sort of mass panic across the capital.
Wow, that's impressive.
I've come up with some quite obscure conspiracy theory here.
But I'm kind of grateful, because I love a goose. Delicious bird.
When have you ever eaten goose?
I was introduced to goose about 18 months ago from an ex-girlfriend who introduced me to quite a lot of new foods.
Okay.
And I enjoyed a bit of goose meat.
Fair enough.
It was nice. I also ate something called a... It was something where basically someone had stuffed another bird into a goose.
Oh, was it like a partridge and a goose, goose and a duck?
Something like that, yeah. I also got a taste for guinea fowl. Guinea fowl is delish.
All right, upper class bastard.
Do we need this many geese? I think we do.
Well, I'm glad we've got that settled. Cool, so that's just about wrapping us up for this week, but make sure you tell us what you think of our topics and whether or not you agree whether we do or do not need them.
God damn it, my tea's stuck to the table.
That was an important thing that needed to be said.
I know where you're going,
yeah.
But might I suggest that future dialogue is conducted by people with brains larger than a grape? I know, you're channeling a dwarf.
Well, anyway, you can come and tell us all about your topics and our topics at doweneedquestions@gmail.com, or you can head over to Twitter with @doweneed, followed by the thing you think we do not need.
And if you are a goose and have found any part of today offensive, I apologise.